tonight, going to be joined here by Ted Black, our Charlestown correspondent for the Racing Bits of Racingbits.com. And Ted, it's Breeders' Cup weekend, and I sent you out with a little assignment.
Yeah, appreciate it. Able to make some picks for the card Friday, Saturday. I mainly focused on Saturday, usually the deeper, more intriguing day, and a little more on the line usually. So made a few picks and hopefully come up with a few winners and try to avoid the chalk if I can. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
And you really did avoid the chalk in a couple of these. Let's start with your best bet of the weekend. And you look to the Breeders' Cup Mile for that. That's $2 million, grade one, a mile on the turf. And you went with a horse that's 10-1 as your best bet. That's Annapolis. Talk about Annapolis, Ted.
Yeah, you know, obviously, oddly enough, a couple months ago now, when we were at Timonium for the Hall of Fame presentation, that was one of the few simulcast races that I watched that day. He had won a great
I'm sorry, race. Ted, you just went into a tunnel there. Can you?
Hold on.
That's about
now. Okay, sorry about that. A couple of months ago when we were at Charlestown, Timonium for the Hall of Fame presentation. And that was one of the few simulcast races I remember watching was the stake race from Saratoga that day. One of them was on the turf, and Annapolis odds on that day, you know, in a pretty soft spot, you know, respectively speaking for him, won for fun. And then, you know, come back to win a grade one going a mile. You know, nice setup race for the Breeders' Cup. You know, certainly going to be a little bit of a price on Saturday. I don't think you're going to get 10-1 on him, realistically, the way he's coming into it. But, you know, certainly not going to be the favorite in there. And just for me, I just like the way he's coming into it. You know, that was pretty much it. You know, a little hunch play on top of it being, you know, Annapolis is not too far up the street from me, and you know, the one time capital. So, but realistically speaking, no, I just really liked his last two races. Going back and watching them, he progressed up the graded ladder pretty well, and I just think he's ready to tackle the best in the country and the best in the world on Saturday.
Well, he's going to see a couple of them, it looks like to me. You got Dream Loper, you got Modern Games for Charlie Appleby, who won the Juvenile Turf last year and has won the Woodbine Mile a couple starts ago, won the French 2000 Guineas back in May. So obviously that's a horse that's going to be a major player in this spot. You got a couple of other good American horses as well, and you have an interesting horse, I think, in Domestic Spending, coming back off a year layoff. Had been very good for Chad Brown, but obviously he's been away a year. Any thoughts on Domestic Spending, Ted?
You know, like you mentioned, being away a year, probably the first, you know, true knock against him. You know, I mean, certainly a quality animal, and going to be a major player in there if he's fit. I mean, obviously, can't imagine him being too short, or otherwise he wouldn't have even been entered in that spot. But yeah, tough for me to consider him, you know, off the year layoff, you know, going in a Breeders' Cup race when, you know, pretty much everybody in the race, you know, in each of the Breeders' Cup races, I mean, it's the race they're pointing for, except maybe for a couple of Euros, you know, coming out of the Arc or coming out of Champion Day at Ascot. You know, other than that, you know, pretty much everybody in Breeders' Cup is pointing for a Breeders' Cup. There's, you know, the prep races, everything else is set up so that they're peaking basically on Breeders' Cup Friday or Saturday. And, you know, for a horse to come in it off a year layoff, tough. You don't see too many that, you know, fit the DeHaas mold going back in time that can do that. You know, you just don't. So certainly on ability, he's in the upper epsilon, but the off the year layoff, yeah, I couldn't take him. And really another reason why, you know, I thought Annapolis was the play in there.
All right, Annapolis, your best bet of the weekend in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Let's turn to your long shot. I mean, if your best bet is 10-1, your long shot's got to be even longer, and it is. You look to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint going 7/8 of a mile for $1 million, and you land on the Japanese Invader here, Chain of Love, 20-1 on the morning line. Interesting choice here. What are you seeing in Chain of Love? The 3-1 favorite here is Goodnight Olive for, surprisingly enough, Chad Brown. So what are you seeing in Chain of Love, Ted?
Well, a couple of things. Obviously, you know, Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint, I'm looking at is pretty wide open from top to bottom. You know, we saw Frank Rocket win at Charlestown, so certainly interested in seeing how she does there, going from Charlestown off winning the pink ribbon directly to the Breeders' Cup, you know, with no prep race in between. I thought that was a little odd. I thought Mott might have found a spot for her in there. But, of course, you know, a couple of years ago she had tried the boys in the Breeders' Cup off a nice win streak. But getting back to Chain of Love, you know, if you look back at her PPs, you know, she had tried some of the boys, you know, over at Maidan going back. And, you know, here she is coming off a nice setup race in Japan. You know, most of the Japanese horses people correlate with being really, really good on the turf. And, you know, most of the ones that have come over here for some of the grade one races and done well have been on turf. I just thought that the setup race for her going 7/8 over the off track in her last start, you know, going to just set her up, you know, perfect for a 7/8 race here. I don't know what kind of trip she's going to get. Unfortunately, you know, she does look like from her running style, she's going to be coming from the back. So she's going to need a little bit of pace to run at. But, yeah, I don't think there's going to be a shortage of pace in here. And, you know, a filly like her, I really expect to float up maybe 25, even 30-1. So, yeah, I think she's worth the swing. I think if you're looking at, you know, obviously there's 45, 50 legitimate long shots on Saturday. And I think she's a one you got to consider because it's 20-1. One, I think she's going to be running late, and just worth the play. I think the race could set up pretty nicely for her.
William Buick going to be in the irons there for Chain of Love, and you make an interesting point. This horse has been running against the boys pretty much exclusively this year. hasn't raced against fillies or mares in actually since early 2021. Was fourth, beat a couple lengths in the Golden Shaheens that was won by Switzerland earlier this year. Was third in the Riyadh Dirt Sprint. So has faced some pretty good horses and some pretty good boys and acquitted herself quite well. And as you said, Ted, arrives off a victory. So 20-1 on Chain of Love in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. So let's turn our attention. Let's talk about your multi-race wager. You're singling in the late pick three here on Saturday. Starts with race 9, Breeders' Cup Distaff, going 1 1/8 on the dirt, and then you got the turf, which is 1.5 miles on the turf, and then finally the classic, 1.25 miles. On the main track, and you're going to try to beat the favorite in the classic. But let's talk first about the Distaff. What are you looking at in the Distaff?
You know, obviously, usually one of the races that comes up really, really tough each year. You know, this year, you know, a really good mix of three-year-old fillies in there. You know, you don't often see too many three-year-old fillies trying the older ones, even this time of year. But, you know, so you got that group with Nest, Secret Oath, you know, certainly. And then Society, who, you know, we saw win at Charlestown, going 7-8, probably, you know, Mile and Eighth might eventually be just a little bit outside her realm. But she's, you know, legitimate speed and going to be a major player in there early. So, but, yeah, I mean, I think realistically, you know, it comes down to Nest, you know, being the filly to beat. You know, she's had a you know, obviously a heck of a year. I think she's going to be probably champion, you know, champion three-year-old filly. You know, Secret Oath for the coach is, you know, I mean, she's fired some big shots all throughout the season. You know, so, I mean, you can't knock her by any means. And then Malathot coming into it really well. You know, another one that's just had a superb career for Todd Fletcher. So, you know, I mean, he's been a dominant force in the Breeders' Cup for many years now. And, you know, in this race, got a chance to run, you know, going to run 1-2. So, interesting race. You know, I think I settled on Nest in there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, you did.
Yeah, I think I settled on Nest in there. You know, and realistically, Frank, you know, not a horse I would necessarily play at a short price. You know, if she does end up going 6-5, 7-5, maybe even less. You know, with the depth of the field in there, but. You know, I think she's just coming into it perfect, as, you know, most people would agree. And she's the one to beat. I'm not necessarily conceding the race to her, even though she was my top pick. And, you know, from a flat win bet perspective, yeah, I don't necessarily think I could play her. You know, if she does dip down to, you know, a very, very short price in there. Interesting race. And like I said, you know, I'm curious to see how Society does in there. I thought she delivered arguably the best performance on Charlestown Classic night when we were there, and she won the Grade 3 Oaks, which was only going 7-8. But then, you know, she come back and win the Cotillion up at Park. And, you know, again, maybe a Mile and Eighth might be a little reach for her, might be a little difficulty clearing to the front with the outside post, and might have a little more pace pressure than she did up at Park. But realistically, you know, somebody's going to have to come get her at some point. I think Ness does. I think she's going to drift a little bit, being Ness, that is. I think she's going to drop a little lower than her 9-5 morning line price. So she looks like the play. You got to use her in pick three for sure. A flat win bet, yeah, if she goes 6-5 or even money, I couldn't play her. But pick three, I think she's pretty solid in there.
Let's talk about Society for a minute, Ted. I think Society's on the lead here, right? I mean, she looks to me to be the controlling speed, most likely. She went fast in the Cotillion early, 46-3. And was all by herself, which made it a little bit easier, but drew away nicely to win pretty easily. So, I mean, is that how you see it, that Society probably the controlling speed in this spot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, again, you know, looking back at two starts back, you know, she won the race at Charlestown going 7-8. And, you know, it was a night when there was four or five really good stakes races going 7-8. Including the 1-1 by Frank Troquet, and Society posted the fastest time of any of those 7-8 races. And one of them, as I mentioned, was won by Frank Troquet. There was another one for older boys, and then there was another for three-year-old boys, and Society was a second faster than that one, only slightly faster than Frank's Rocket time, but nevertheless, you know, she did go faster than older fillies and mares on the same night. So thought she was on the improve coming out of there. I wasn't shocked that she won the Cotillion, you know, being that she figured to be the lone speed in there. I would be moderately surprised if she wins this, just because it is, you know, kind of a step up class-wise. But, yeah, she's going to be the controlling speed. And, you know, somebody's going to have to come reel her in, you know, the last quarter mile. So always a threat when you have lone speed, as you know, Frank, in those long races. So she appears to me to be the controlling speed. I just don't know if in this group, you know, she's going to be able to hold off Nest and Secret Oath there.
All right, let's turn to the Breeders' Cup Turf, mile and a half on the grass, $4 million on the line. And interesting race here. You got Rebel Romance is in as the 3-1 chalk. You got Nation's Pride, both of those for the powerful Charlie Appleby barn. John Gosden represented with Mishriff. Bill Mott going to send out a mare in Warlike Goddess, who's 9-2 on the morning line. Aiden O'Brien's got Broom and Stone Age both in the spot. So a lot of different ways to go, a lot of different interesting horses, and a lot of horses who haven't seen each other previously going to square off in this contest, which Europeans have done very well in over the years. And be interesting to see how that shakes out here. Where are you landing in the Breeders' Cup Turf? I think you had an exacta that you're looking at a little bit here, as well as using one of these in your multi-race, your pick three to close the card.
Yeah, you know, obviously probably, you know, one of the more wide-open races on, you know, what's typically a card filled with wide-open races. You know, I went with Rebel Romance. I thought Rebel's Romance might even float up from his 3-1 morning line, just based on, you know, the overall depth of the field and kind of evenness of the group in general. You know, what's really amazing with this horse is, you know, one thing I look for in Breeders' Cup Turf races is horses with at least quality efforts at a mile and a half, because, you know, not many horses run a mile and a half at any point in their career anymore. And, you know, he had been primarily a dirt horse for the first part of his career. And then all of a sudden, you know, they try him going a mile and a half on turf, and he's won all four times going a mile and a half on turf. And that's only grade one. So he seems like the kind of the, like, antithesis of Cigar. You know, remember Cigar was always a turf horse, and, you know, one day Bill Mott decided, hey, let's try him on turf, and, you know, he ended up being one of the greatest main track horses of all time. So, you know, Rebel's Romance is kind of the opposite of that. You know, all of a sudden, they try him turf, then they try him long, and, you know, now he's 4-4, you know, in mile and a half turf races, and went a grade one last time, and, you know, now he's on the verge of winning, you know, a fifth straight mile and a half race in another grade one. So, yeah, so, you know, he just ends up my pick on the fact that he's been so good going a mile and a half on the turf. An amazing career transformation, you know, like Cigar, but on the opposite surface. And then, of course, with Mishriff, you know, again, another horse, 6-1 on the morning line. I think he's going to be slightly, maybe even considerably higher than that, just, you know, off his last race was not good. And, you know, you got to go back quite a bit to find a win for him, you know, on the turf. You know, I know the talent's there and the ability's there, but, you know, a lot of races where it looked like the expectations were a lot higher from him, and he just didn't deliver. So, the odd thing I've noticed with the arc over the years is, you know, horses coming out of the arc that were maybe a little short going into the arc and didn't fare well, will come over here and do well, whereas horses that, you know, were sort of peaten for the yard and did well over there in the yard come over here and didn't win. So, you know, so I think Mishriff is a play just for two, you know, for those two reasons. I think the arc is going to actually help him in this case. It didn't look like he was peaking for the arc, and, you know, they didn't bet him like he was peaking for the arc. He was, you know, 34-1. And over here, 6-1 morning line, and I think he's going to be higher than that. So, Elbows Romance, probably a not $8 or $9 horse, and Mishriff is probably 8 or 10 to 1 underneath. So I looked at it and figured, you know, it's maybe a $65 or $75 exact, and it's worth a play just because of how well the Euros usually do over here in that event.
It's an interesting thing going on, Ted. Charlie Appleby's got Rebel's Romance and Nation's Pride. You talked about Rebel's Romance, and Buick Road has ridden Rebel's Romance in 3 of his 4 12 furlong grade one turf victories. Not all grade one, my apologies, but he's, yeah, as you said, 4 for 4 going 12 furlongs on the turf. And Buick's ridden them 3 out of 4. But he lands on the other Appleby horse. That's Nation's Pride, 7 to 2 morning line. I'm curious if you make anything of that at all.
You know, I mean, it did kind of lead me to believe that there's a chance that Nation's Pride will be the favorite just because, you know, Buick picked him over Rebel's Romance. You know, I'm assuming he had choice because he typically does get, you know, first call for Appleby. So I'm assuming he had choice there. And yeah, I mean, an interesting choice by him. I mean, you know, I mean, he's in a great spot. Obviously, he's going to have the two best horses to choose from going into, you know, a grade one $4 million race. So probably along the way that kind of for Buick, guessing, you know, kind of piqued his interest that Nation's Pride maybe has a little more ability than Rebel's Romance, you know. So I think that'll sway the public a little bit as well, Frank. You know, I stuck with Rebel's Romance just based on, you know, his success going 1.5 miles. You know, Nation's Pride may end up being, you know, 3 to 1 in there. And Rebel's Romance could be, you know, 7-2, 7-2 second choice when it's all said and done. So, yeah, curious to know, especially after the race win or lose, why Buick took Nation's Pride over Rebel's Romance. But, you know, along the way, you know, I'm sure not an easy choice for him because, you know, both of them had win grade ones and both of them look like they're sitting on, you know, another grade one, potential grade one win this weekend. So I didn't read into it too much. I stayed with Rebel's Romance based on his form. But, yeah, like you, I think the public's going to notice that on Saturday. And I think, yeah, Nation's Pride is probably going to get down a half a point and be the fave. And Rebel's Romance is going to float up a half a point and be the second choice when it's all said and done.
One other interesting note in the turf for those of us in the Mid-Atlantic, Graham Motion's got a couple in here. He's got, on the far outside, he's got Highland Chief with Johnny Velasquez up. And on the inside, he's got Bye Bye Melvin with Fergal Lynch in the irons. Interesting to see Fergal Lynch getting a Breeders' Cup turf mount. Bye Bye Melvin, 15-1 on the morning line. Was second last out in the Turf Classic. Highland Chief, also 15-1 on the morning line, won the Grade 3 Sycamore in his last start. Ted, let's turn to the Breeders' Cup Classic now. And, well, this race pretty much going to run through Flightline, but you don't see Flightline being the one in front at the end.
You know, Frank, I mean, obviously, curiously, I've you know, seen all the races from all the contenders in here over the course of the year, and you know, with Flightline, just exceptional talent. You know, in only five races in his career up to this point, and you know, spread out what appears to be almost you know, ideal schedule. You know, like 3-4 months apart, except for the gap between winning the Malibu and then, of course, winning the Met Mile earlier this year. You know, so you know, no mistake in. He's going to go lower than his 3-5 morning line price. You know, the last race was tremendous. You know, you got to applaud him for that effort in Pacific Classic. You know, highest buyer of the year and probably several decades. If you look back at it, you know, and you know, he's sort of the ultimate, you know, kind of Pegasus hype horse going into the Breeders' Cup Classic. Certainly the best in there and the horse to beat. At 1-5, which I realistically think he's going to be, you know, half his morning line price. Yeah, I think he's worth swinging against for two reasons. You know, Life is Good is going to be the speed. He's going to have to run him down at some point. And then, you know, there's a couple of legitimate closes in, including the one I eventually settled on, because I think, you know, he's going to be a little bit higher than his morning line price, and maybe even the third choice, and that's Epicenter. You know, he's really been the best three-year-old all year. I know he didn't win the Derby, beaten favorite in the Derby by Rich Strike, and then, you know, beaten favorite in the Preakness when, you know, early voting has had a perfect trip in there. But his Travers performance was superb, you know, and obviously at the distance as well. So my only concern with him, Frank, really is between the Travers and this race. You know, like the rest of them, except for Flightline, all had a prep race coming into it. I would have liked to see a prep race from Epicenter. But then, you know, I don't know if the gap was by design, because if you look at his work, you know, works have been really on point and sharp. So, you know, if like Flightline, he's basically just trained up to the Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, you can't knock him for the gap there. So, yeah, I think it's some Flightline's going to have to work to get past Life is Good, and some of the closers are going to benefit from a little more legitimate pace than what people might have expected in here. So, you know, I'm going to take a swing at Epicenter, maybe being a $15 or $16 horse on Saturday. And, you know, all due respect to Flightline, because he's the best horse in there. And at 1-5, you know, somebody's going to have to run him down the last 100 yards, which is not going to be an easy task by any means.
I think if he runs the Pacific Classic back, we're talking about who's second. But, but I, you know, talk about Epicenter. I really, you know, you mentioned that he's been probably arguably the best 3-year-old all year. And the kind of neat thing about him is he was, you know, the best or certainly in that conversation in March. And he's improved as much as any of the other 3-year-olds. So he's still the one who's there. You know, he's the one that you look at and say he can potentially beat Flightline, potentially beat Life is Good. I mean, Taiba is another interesting horse who's, you know, super talented 3-year-old. He won the PA Derby nicely last out. But I guess I sort of feel like if Flightline runs the Pacific Classic back, he wins. If he bounces, then it opens it up to the Epicenters and Life is Goods of the world. A horse like Taiba still needs to improve to get there, in my view. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree, Frank. I think, yeah, two things. You know, obviously it's all about Flightline. Does, if he runs back to the Pacific Classic or anything close to it, yeah, he's you know, he's going to win by 6 or 8, even against this field. If he regresses a little bit off of that performance and you know, you've seen it happen. You know, horses come off a career performance going into, you know, another big stake race, and you know, you can't find him, you know. So you know, I don't think he'll regress that much. I mean, even if he I think his buyer figure was right around 130 for the Pacific Classic, so you know, regressing for him would still be, you know, a figure of around 110, 115, which is probably, you know, a peak performance.
Could put him right there. Yeah.
You're right. You know, and a peak performance for everybody else in the field. So, yeah, so even if he regresses to that extent, you know, he's second, maybe third. But starts with him. Realistically, I don't think he can duplicate that effort in the Pacific Classic. So that's one reason I would say he's, you know, worth playing again. Epicenter, I think, can keep improving. Like I mentioned, I mean, he's just been good for basically his entire sophomore career, which you don't see too often. You know, Taiba, I think a lot of people are looking at as maybe kind of the now 3-year-old just off his win at Parks, but yeah, I'm just not really sold on him. You know, like you mentioned, the ability is probably there, but you know, you'd like to see you know, a few more kind of marquee wins. And you know, Pennsylvania Derby, even though it's Grade One now, you know, I don't really view it as like, you know, a marquee race like the Half Gourd, the Travers, you know, some of those other big summer 3-year-old stake races. So, yeah, I just couldn't play him. I know he's going to be maybe 10, 12 to 1 in there with, you know, Flightline dropping down, you know, well below even money. Yeah, I'm just not sold on Taiba at this point. And even though the race could realistically set up well for him, you know, with Life Is Good being the speed, and some of the other closers, you know, like, oh, Rich Strike's going to have to come from way out of there. But Epicenter should be able to work out a pretty good trip. Taiba, I just don't know if the race is going to set up that well for him. You know, a couple obviously really quality older horses he's going to have to chase, run down. And, of course, you know, this is the best 3-year-old group he's seen too. So, I'm not a Taiba fan. I know people are out there excited about him off his race at Parks, which was a very good effort. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see him as being one of the class 3-year-olds at this point, Frank.
What about Olympiad? Olympiad was had a really nice run, winning the couple of races. Well, the fairgrounds, then he won the Ali Sheba, he won the Stephen Foster. Then he pretty much puked in the Whitney, which was won by Life Is Good, and he just really didn't run well that day. But he bounced back and won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at going a mile and a quarter the distance of this race. You have any love for Olympiad?
You know what? The funny thing is, you mentioned Life Is Good, who really has been like the horse that everybody's knocking, you know, come off his win at the over the sloppy track at Aqueduct last time out, because the speed figure didn't come back all that good. You know, but you know, at some point somebody's got to run down Life Is Good. And you know, I didn't give too much credence to his effort on the slop. You know, you see a lot of horses run big in the slop and then, you know, they don't repeat that effort back on the dry track, and you see horses that don't run well on the slop, and all of a sudden they improve on the dry track. So I can't really knock the effort from Life Is Good last out just because it was in the slop, and, you know, I think he's going to be the speed, and Flightline and the others are going to have to come get him at some point. And, yeah, Olympiad, you know, just had the one bad race. I mean, let's face it, you know, if Flightline gets beat this weekend, people are going to say, well, you know, like any other horse, you just had one bad race. You know, Life Is Good had the bad race, not necessarily a bad race, you know, kind of a subpar performance, you know, in Dubai off, you know, the big win at the Pegasus to start the year. And Olympiad just had the, you know, the one off day, like you mentioned, and since then come back to win the Jockey Club Gold Cup. So, you know, a little bit flying a little bit below the radar. Winning 6 out of 7, and you know, at this point, yeah, people are a little leery of him because of his effort 2 starts back when he finished 4th in the Whitney. But a nice setup race in the Jockey Club Gold Cup and win going a mile and a quarter. So not a complete toss, but, you know, realistically, he's kind of on the bubble to hit the board there, you know, for finishing 4th. You know, I would say he could certainly finish on the board, you know, 4th in there. But, you know, legit horse. But, yeah, again, just flying a little bit below the radar just because of the quality of the top 2 older horses in the division being in here and, you know, the quality of the 3-year-olds that you got in there.
All right, let's put you on the spot here. Breeders' Cup Classic, top 3 in order.
All right. Like I said, I already posted the picks for you, Frank. So they're out there to be seen, you know, whenever you post them. But went Epicenter, then Flightline, then Life is Good, in that order. You know, realistically, I don't know how fast the track is playing right now, but, you know, it's probably going to take like 2 minutes and 3/5 to win the race. You know, if Flightline fires another big shot, he could eclipse 2 minutes in there. But Epicenter, everybody else, I think, is, you know, right around coming in a little under 2:01. So, yeah, I'd say I give Epicenter the slight edge just because I think he's coming into it perfect. Flightline, I expect a little regression on Saturday. And then Life is Good. Again, you know, I think he's going to be certainly a major player. I'm not going to hold the prep race at Aqueduct against him. You know, and then, you know, Flightline and everybody else is going to have to come get him, you know, in the final quarter mile. And he's been really, really good, you know, at a mile and an eighth. You know, I don't think a mile and a quarter is going to be beyond his reach by any means. I just think, you know, Epicenter and Flightline a little more proven at the distance. So, but Life is Good is, you know, he's not going to fold up shop, you know, turn it for home. He's going to be a tough customer, especially if they, you know, if they let him get away with, you know, going 23 and change, 47 and change on the front end. There's going to be a lot more left in the tank than people expect from him. So I think he's going to be 3rd, and, you know, realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if he held on for 2nd in there.
All right, Ted Black going Epicenter, Flightline, Life is Good, top 3 in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Any last thoughts? Any horse or race you're particularly looking forward to seeing?
Well, you know, a couple things. You know, Aloha West being Maryland bred, I believe the only Maryland bred on the card on Saturday. You know, defending champion of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. I was tempted to play him as my long shot tomorrow, you know, knowing he won the race last year. I think it's 11 or 12 to 1, and it's always 12 to 1 on the morning line this year. You know, just a little leery of the fact he didn't get another prep race in since July. You know, I know he won that minor stake in the summer. Thought there might have been a prep race for him to set him up for this race, you know, maybe 5-6 weeks out. I mean, certainly there was plenty of them out there. So just a little concerned about the lack of a good prep race for him. But, you know, defending champ and only Maryland bred, you know, one of 2 Maryland breds to win a Breeders' Cup race last year, you know, the other one obviously being horse of the year, Nick's Go. So, from a sentimental standpoint, you know, we'd like to see Aloha West do well again in his title defense as a little Maryland bred out there. But, you know, again, from a betting perspective, can't really recommend him off, you know, missing a prep or just not having a prep, you know, in the 4 months since his last race. And then the other thing, too, like we touched on a little bit, got to see a couple of horses win at Charlestown on the undercard of the Charlestown Classic, Frank's Rocket and Society. And, you know, here they are both in Breeders' Cup races on the same day. And Frank Trocquette is coming directly out of that race, the Pink Ribbon, you know, and going into the Breeders' Cup Philly Merit Sprint for Bill Mott. So, you know, I think she'll run a race. Again, like Aloha West, I would have thought there would have been a prep race somewhere along the way to set her up for this. But if it's by design, you know, you certainly can't put anything past Bill Mott to have a horse ready for Breeders' Cup days. If it was by design to go from Charlestown to Keeneland, you know, for this spot. And then Society, you know, ran the bang-up race in the Cotillion coming out of the Charlestown Oaks. And, you know, again, I think she's sitting on another good race on Saturday. I don't know if she's got the class to beat Nest and Malathot and some of those other ones, but, you know, both of them were really nice winners at Charlestown on the undercard of Charlestown Classic, and be interesting to see how they run, you know, on the bigger stage at Keeneland on Saturday.
Certainly would be a nice feather in the cap of the card on Charlestown Classic night if a couple of horses out of there come back and run well in Breeders' Cup. All right, Ted Black looking for some upsets all over the Saturday card. Good luck on Saturday, my friend.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, good luck. Always a great day of racing. You know, a lot of championships on the line. I don't know necessarily if horse of the year is on the line. You know, at this point, it looks like, you know, flight line is going to be odds on to get it. Thank you.